Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255 or text 580-580. With Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth, here is Steve Gregory.
Ooh, it's a special treat day. Dora's here today.
Hello, everybody.
All is away.
Two shows in a row.
Two shows in
Dora
a row.
Dora and I love
it. I have a special gift for you. I'm here next week, too.
Are you?
Wow. Wait, I can hear our ratings going up.
Yep. Maybe not today. The Sens game's on.
Now, a lot has changed since we were last sitting in these seats. Frank is a year older.
Yes.
I had a very special birthday.
And?
Such a special birthday that I became a no-no. So
yay!
I am absolutely over the moon. Congrats to my daughter, what a rock star, who delivered a beautiful granddaughter for me, Amelia. And her husband, Shaf, helped a little bit, but daughter
got all
that
was a while ago.
Yeah. No, they're home and doing wonderful.
How big?
Six and a half.
Ooh, those are keepers. You don't throw those back.
No, you don't. It's beautiful. Yeah, just an absolute darling.
Fantastic. So you're a little happy then.
I'm nothing can, you know, interest rates are coming down, which is good. But even if they were going up, I got to be honest with you, I wouldn't be too sad right now because I'm so happy.
So no free mortgages to celebrate?
This week the article came out that the low interest rates that we saw aren't going to be around ever again, according to some economists. But
they don't even know what's going to happen next year.
I agree. And here we have CMHC, you know, all the mistakes they made in their predictions. Here they are making more predictions. Like, they should just stay out of it. And let the market dictate what happens. Let, you know, the economy, there's no question the economy is slowing down. We're going to see our unemployment go up. There's no ands, ifs, or buts. I mean, if you see major corporations, such as the big banks in Canada, mm-hmm. who employ thousands and thousands of people and make $10 to $12 billion every year net, and they're laying off 2 to 3% of the workforce, you can bet that the small businesses are going to lay off as well. So it's just a matter of time. And
And they say the lag time is 18 to 24 months for these rates. That seems like a long time to me.
That's what I disagree with. The lag time cannot be that long. It just can't. So I personally, my own feeling is that by spring, we're really going to start to see the interest rates come down, if not sooner, because I think the inflation report comes out this week. Expect it to be in the low to mid threes. It's a 3.8 last time. I think it's going to come down to the low threes because we've seen oil prices plummet. Obviously, we've seen food prices come down a little bit. And But they've come down from a standpoint of they're not as aggressively going up as they did before. So, and we're going to see shelter costs start to come back down a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. So,
and
all
Tip
that
seems
adds
to be
up.
Backing off his 2% now.
Well, between 2 and 3. So all of a sudden...
No, but now he's saying we're not going to wait till it gets to 2.
Well, because he knows he can't.
If we're on our way there. Yeah, otherwise we get into
he knows
a recession.
He can't. Yeah. Yeah, because the 2 may not happen until 2025, and then we're into a deep recession, which he'd like a recession. I don't think he wants a deep recession. So
hard to believe he'd like a recession.
I know, right?
Doesn't it sound awful?
It does sound awful.
We've been trying
to
avoid recessions our entire life, now we've got to get these rates down.
Well, so let me then, I think he would rather have a recession than the inflation numbers we've had over the last 18 months. So if you give him the choice of which one he'd choose, he'd rather take a recession.
But it hasn't done anything for home prices, really.
No, home prices are really holding steady.
Yeah.
You
would think with all these increases that home prices would have come down substantially by now.
Less activity, though, I think. That's where you're seeing it is on the activity side, right, Dora?
You are. You're certainly seeing less activity now, a little obsolete because we're, November 18th? But for October, the number of units sold through the MLS system through the Ottawa Real Estate Board was 816, which is down 36% below the five-year average and nearly 31% below the 10-year average in volume of activity. So certainly seeing a decreased activity in the market, but the prices are holding.
Which is why the listings are up.
The listings are up, right. So the listings are up. We're this morning, I think, 4,832 listings,
wow.
Which is, you know, it's 43, 44% above the five-year average. But the thing that I think is interesting is that it is 10.9% below the 10-year average. So our inventory is up. We're certainly there. Like in October, the number of months of inventory was about 3.8. So, you know, the average absorption rate is about 3.8. And we haven't seen numbers like that since, you know, 2016, the months of inventory was 4.7. Going back 10 years from now ago, the number of months of inventory is 5.5. But we haven't seen anything like we have right now in a long, long time.
Did we go from 3.1 to 3.8?
We went from last year 3.1, so not a big increase, right? So despite everything that's happening in the economy, really not a big increase in months of inventory from October 2022 to October 2023. But certainly very, very different than what we've become accustomed to.
And what is officially a balanced market?
A balanced market is between 4 and 6 months, so we're
feels very balanced, though. Right?
It feels it almost feels like it's in the buyer's favor right now. It feels like that, but per people
the
above
numbers,
my
the
pay
stats.
Grade, right? Per per the stats, 4 to 6 months. I do think though that you know there is an opportunity for buyers right now to take some time to go out and look. The average sale price is up for a residential property is at $721,000 in October. For a townhouse was $501,000, which is only about a percentage higher than a year ago. And then for condos, we're looking at apartment condos. Mm-hmm. We're looking at $424,000 on average for the month of October.
Did you say average townhome 501?
I did. So
that seems low.
It is low. It like the stats from the Ottawa Real Estate Board. So per the Ottawa Real Estate Board, the market report that came out, that is the benchmark. But then there's if you look really at the activity for townhouses, they do seem to hover. The median sales price seems to be at about 550. So year to date. So I think October was a little bit lower than the rest of the year.
It varies per neighborhood.
It does. Because, it really varies.
A friend of mine sold in Stittsville for seven something and it's a townhome. So
absolutely.
I think it definitely varies depending on.
I mean, and these numbers are so generic, right? They're so generic because they are Ottawa-wide and their whole board-wide. So there are certain neighborhoods that have more expensive homes. There are certain areas that remain very competitive because of neighborhoods, school zones, parks, access to transit, whatever it is. And there are certain home, you know, if you look right now for sale, if we're speaking about townhomes, I mean, if you remember 2-3 years ago, there were some weeks where we would have, you know, 3, 5, 6 townhomes available for sale. If you look at the suburban neighborhoods right now, this morning there were 96 townhomes for sale in Barrhaven. There were 93 townhomes for sale in Kanata and Stittsville and 77 townhomes for sale in Orleans. So,
wow. So
buyers,
if you can buy now, have some amazing choices.
Amazing, amazing choices. You have the luxury of time. And, you know, even though the market might seem a bit quiet, it's actually a great time for anyone looking to buy. It may be the calm before the storm. If we're going to see interest rates start coming down as early as the spring, there will be more people coming on to the market. And you want to get in there before the market tips in favor of the sellers, because we're still in a, even though the inventory is up, we're in a chronic supply. I guess we have chronic supply issues is really what the truth is about Ottawa.
Now they're starting to build more, though, slowly.
Yeah. So the number of new builds is increasing, which is great, but they're not
Although
going to be finished.
Although it was down in October, right?
It was. But they're not going to be finished for some time.
Yeah.
And not everybody wants a new build, right? So new builds are great. Price points are great for new builds. But you've got to think that when you're purchasing a new build, there are some costs that are associated with that, that you know, you've got to invest in a fence, you've got to invest in eavesdropping, you've got to invest in window coverings and that sort of thing. And you have to live through construction. So you do benefit from price point, and typically your home will appreciate a little bit faster than an existing home. But you do have to sacrifice for that benefit.
Every week I seem to be reading more about repurposing buildings and turning them into condos. And governments seem to be getting more and more involved in that with help.
Well, so many empty buildings that, you know, our lives have changed since the pandemic in 2020. I mean, we've gone from, you know, everybody going to work every day of the week to, you know, in some cases, people working from home full time. And in other cases, we're seeing hybrid models where, you know, we've got a hybrid model in our office where it's 3 days from the office and 2 days at home. And but I've heard of other companies that have 1 and 4, 4 and 1, 2 and 3. So there's all these models out there. But what it means is that if you come into downtown core, you've got significantly less people walking around and coming to the office than we were accustomed to. So if you've got all these empty buildings that are just sitting there, we're seeing other cities that have done it very, very well.
Yeah.
And I think Ottawa's going to follow suit. And let's get some housing in these buildings. Let's fill them up and maybe let's change the scope of the neighborhoods where they're not strictly commercially used during the day and then they're ghost towns at nighttime. Mm-hmm. Maybe let's build up some of these downtown cores with more residential so that there could be some activity at nighttime as well.
I think if you look at the European models, that would be so wonderful if we could incorporate some of that into Canadian cities.
100%.
I mean, especially Ottawa, right? Like if you had neighborhoods where you could work, you could play, you could eat, you could go out, you could do everything, you wouldn't need to have your car as much. We're such a large city and we have so many, you know, stores all over the place. Imagine if you could just walk everywhere. It'd be amazing.
Well, that's what's crazy about our country. I mean, here we are, we're paying a carbon tax because we're trying to help the environment, but then we don't build in the core of the city to avoid
right.
people from buying cars. So
yeah.
we almost build more in the outskirts where people need transportation mm-hmm. and therefore, so we're going against what we're trying to promote.
When are you running?
One vote, yeah, Frank yeah, Napolitano.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I will say about we're going to a break. Paul would freak out here.
He'd be freaking out.
Yeah, he'd be freaking out right now.
You think he's listening?
521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Well, the back door is here. Frank is here. You had a thought before
yeah.
we went to break?
I think at least what I'm hearing is, so generally speaking, somebody that bought a house 5 years ago would now be looking at potentially, you know, upgrading to a bigger home. But a lot of the clients that are calling us, because the interest rates have gone up, they're holding off on that. So I think that probably explains why we're seeing the listings go up, and we probably will continue to see the listings go up, at least until interest rates come down. What they're saying is like, the cost of living is too high right now, so why do we want to take on more debt at this point with the interest rates where they are? I'm more than happy to do it if interest rates come back to normal in the 3s and 4s. Then I think it's within our budget. But other than that, we're okay to stay in this house for another 2 or 3 years. It's not we want to upgrade, but we also want to do it when it's the right time for us. Because people are still nervous that, you know, as much as we've seen Bank of Canada pause twice, they did that in January
yeah,
too, and then in
year.
July they went back up.
Mm-hmm.
I think Canadians now are looking for that next real move. And listen, they'll pause in December. We're 3 weeks away from their next announcement. It'll be a pause. And then the verbiage that comes with it is going to be really interesting. But, you know, I think what Canadians, their next step to really, really, really get the real estate market going is the drop. If there's a drop and when that drop is, that's when I think we're really going to start to see activity.
I think we need a couple, right?
Well, at least one, though. Like one drop at least will give Canadians that confidence that we're now going down and we're not going up anymore. Because they're still a little nervous that we're pausing. But you keep in mind, TIFF always says, we're pausing, but we still have, I'm still ready to increase them. Should the numbers change.
Right.
So.
Right. But I think then you've got to think that if you're trying to time the market that way, you may have to be careful if the inventory, even though if it continues to climb, it still may be too low to accommodate everyone who is looking to move.
Ooh. Yeah. I think what's good about a buyer today is they have the option to at least, you know, what we saw, and, you know, even a good real estate agent will tell you, I mean, the conditions weren't great for anyone. I mean, they were great for sellers during 2020, 2021, at the beginning of 2022, when you've got all these multiple offers at above list. Great for sellers, but for the buyers and the real estate agents, I mean, it was a lot of hard work and a lot of giving advice to purchasers that deep down inside you really didn't agree with, but those were the market conditions.
Yeah, if you want the house, you had to pay.
This is what you have to do.
You had to pay, and you couldn't have conditions in your offer, and you had to be very aggressive, and you had to make a decision in, 30 seconds sometimes. You didn't have the option to have time to think about what you were doing. And I think that right now buyers do have that time. And if you're looking at what the market was 5 years ago, when those same people that are now looking to renew their mortgages, the average sale price of a residential property in Ottawa in 2018 was in October of 2018 was $449,000
for a single home,
for a residential property. So that's both singles and towns, no condo fees. Condominiums in 2018, the average sale price in October of 2018 was $271,000.
Yeah, there's no question that anybody that's owned a home that long has got nice equity built in. There's no denying
that. And smaller mortgages.
Smaller mortgages that are coming up for maturity. They feel very comfortable. What they don't want to do, though, so a mortgage coming due at $280,000, what they don't want to do is go to $480,000 or $500,000 at the interest rates where they are. So that's why I think they're just sitting on the sidelines. And that's why I think those sidelines are just jamming up and jamming up, waiting for that interest rate to drop. And when the interest rates do drop, I think we're going to see activity elevated, not crazy 2020, 2021, because the interest rates aren't going to get to 1.5%, 2%. The interest rates will probably level out somewhere in the three somewhere, which is acceptable. Most Canadians are more than happy with that interest rate.
But I think there are going to be, we have a fairly aging population. And I think for the last few years, we've seen a lot of our seniors choose not to move, whether it was because of the pandemic and they didn't want to have exposure to a lot of people and a lot of germs, a lot of uncertainty. And now, if you're looking to downsize, selling those larger homes, you are actually more often than not not coming out ahead in order to purchase a smaller home. So I think we have this pent up amount of seniors that have been in their homes maybe 2, 3, 5 years longer than they could have been.
And so if you're downsizing now, you're not getting more value.
You're not getting more value if you equate just cash value. Yeah. Lifestyle, absolutely. Yeah, there could be some changes, right? And it's a lot easier to move when you're making the choice rather than when it's being made for you. So that's something to think about.
So will all of these bigger homes hit the market at the same time in the next 3 years or so?
Well, I think we're going to see slowly right now, we're seeing inventory creep and creep and creep and creep. And, if you're a seller right now and you are making the decision to sell in this market, it's a significant decision, right? It's not an easy thing. And you can't always pick and choose when you're going to sell. So I do think that we'll see a spike of inventory, and that'll be good, because if the interest rates come down, we will see more buyers come in. And it'll be good for everybody.
But if inventory is going to go up, which it seems to be doing now every month, what is it, the most it's been in 5 years right now?
Correct, yeah.
So if that continues to happen, the odds of you getting what you want for your home go down as there's more and more inventory. So you have a decision to make about when you sell.
That's right. So how do you play the market, right? So that's the difficult thing is maybe focus on the amount of equity you've gained over the last few years and make a decision based on your life versus trying to time the market and trying to time at what point prices will be optimal and when will they go up again and how will they come down. It's a tough choice, but it's all individual. It depends on the state of your home. It depends if your home is in need of repair. It depends if your home presents well. It depends if your home's in a neighborhood that is still doing very well. There's so many factors to consider. It's all a very, very individual choice.
Yeah, well, I don't think Canadians are timing the real estate market. I think Canadians are timing the interest rate market, and that's the difference today.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but now you have to do both, right?
You do have to do both. But, if you said to me that somebody has to pay $100,000 more for a house, but the interest rate goes from the mid fives to sixes down to the threes, I think most people would say, I'd rather pay $100,000 more and get an interest rate in the threes because my monthly cash flow will be much more, manageable for me and my family. So I think there's Canadians out there now are more focusing on the interest rates than they are on the real estate market. I mean, if you ask the average listen, I have Canadians, my customers, their mortgages are coming up for renewal, and I ask them what they think their property's worth. They have no idea, where generally they had a sense of an idea of what it was worth. Where today, because the fluctuations over the last 3 years have been so dramatic one way and then down and then steady and then down a little bit and then steady again. So They're unsure what their property is worth. They know they've got some good equity built in over the last 5 years. And they know, most Canadians know, that it's not what it was 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. But they're still confident that they've got equity built in. So, you know, they're happy about that. And if they're comfortable in their lifestyle, the first question is, rates are too high. Like, what's my payment going to be?
Right.
Almost every time, the question is, what's my payment going to be? It's not how much equity they have in their home. It's not what their house is worth. What's my payment going to be? Because that's a concern that most Canadians have today.
And the 5 years that are coming up for renewal now, what were they paying? What rate were they at?
In the threes. So, you know,
like low threes?
Yes. So if we go back 5 years, you would have been anywhere from 299 to 349.
Which is a pretty big high payment.
Today,
shock, right?
You're in the fives.
That's right.
So you're in the mid fives to mid sixes. So that's like 3% is huge. Like, you know, now again, luckily most of those mortgages are in the 200, 250, 300 range. It's still a lot of money, but,
yeah,
you know, I think the reason that I'm so certain that interest rates are going to come down and come down more aggressively as we get closer to 2025 is because that's when the real estate boom started.
Yes.
In the 2020 and 2021. And there wasn't a lot of $250,000, $300,000 mortgages. There was $500,000, $600,000 mortgages then. And if those go up from 1.5% to 2%,
that's
which is what they were getting,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even if they go to 3.5%, 4%, it's already a big enough lift. But they can't go to 5% and 6% because then that'll cripple the housing market as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely, it will.
Across
the
country.
Followed, yeah.
It really will.
Well, and I think as Canadians, we rely so much on the equity in our homes for our retirement too. So that's really scary for a lot of people.
All right, just before we go to break, how old is your granddaughter now?
A beautiful 3 days.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Doris here. Frank is here. Paul is in San Francisco, I guess.
Yes, he is. San Francisco.
Some political event or something.
Him and his buddy Justin are hanging out. That I couldn't see.
No, me either.
And then you look over at Dora, who has more information in front of her
than Paul's had in 16 years.
Yes, combined, yes.
Yep.
Ask me anything.
By the time you're like an Excel sheet over there.
That's right. Very, very graph detail oriented right here.
Not what you have to be today. Like,
I think so.
The one thing we're seeing, even in our industry, I mean, it's been a down year for mortgages, obviously. You know, we've talked about ad nauseum where first-time home buyers and investors buying investment properties represent anywhere between 30 and 40% of the market. And they're basically been on the sidelines for the last 12 to 18 months. So, you know, it's been a little bit of a tough market. And anybody that ventured into our industry as a mortgage agent, mortgage broker, we're probably going to see, and too many people got into it just because they thought it was a quick buck. And this isn't an industry. It's not an industry. We will not hire part-time mortgage agents or brokers because you can't do this part-time. It's not a job that can be done part-time. And I think the
same with real estate.
Used to be,
yeah.
But, you know, same thing on the real estate.
Absolutely.
You cannot, like, every week there's new information coming out that you can never stay on top of if you're doing this part-time. So,
well, I think a lot of realtors, I read a stat somewhere that a lot of realtors don't stay in this line of work for more than 5 years. So a lot of people who got into it within the last 5 years have never seen a market like today.
No, when they got fill out the form.
Never seen a market like today. Don't know how to negotiate in a market today. Don't know how to market in a market like today. Don't know what advice to give and sort of, you know, are panicking. And I think that's just, it is the most important time to work with someone who has experience in this field.
Yeah. You know what? You talked about timing the market in the last segment, and it brings up a lot of phone calls I've been getting over the last 3 months where, again, some people timed the market with the builders where they bought properties in early 2022 when the boom was still on. And now those houses are coming, are being finished. And I'm getting calls saying, I don't qualify anymore for a mortgage because when I bought it in 2022, the interest rate was 3.5% for a 5-year fix. Today, it's 5.5%.
And you have to qualify.
And you have to qualify at 7.5% or 8%. And most of them bought it as investment property. Right. So, mm-hmm. you know, at 3.5%, maybe you're a little bit negative cash flow, but you're 100, 200 bucks negative cash flow. And at the time, you're hoping that the house that you just paid $750,000 for, this townhouse,
would appreciate,
would be worth $850.
That's right.
Which is what was happening, right?
Yes, of course. That's why people were buying it. And that came to a stop.
Mm-hmm.
And now these $750,000 homes are, they haven't gone down that much, but they're down. They're 720, 710, 700.
They certainly haven't gone up.
Yeah. No. And the interest, the payment, the mortgage payment has gone from 3,000 to 4,500.
Right.
And you're only getting $2,600, $2,700 in rental income. So that's the problem. So they're having to make decisions. And I can tell you, over the last 2 months, I've had three clients walk away and leave well over $50,000 of deposits on the table and still not knowing whether the builder will take any legal action against them, because that's possible as well. So,
yeah, because if the builder can't get that price for the home, you're on the hook for the difference.
For the difference, yes, you are. Yeah, it's an unfortunate reality. But if you were purchasing it,
that's the problem with timing.
That is the problem with timing. But I think if you're purchasing for self rather than investment, and you can afford the interest rates right now, and you are of the camp that you believe that they will start coming down in the spring,
take a variable.
Right.
Or take a 1 year or 2 year.
That's right.
Like, protect yourself that way. Don't take a 5 year.
Well, and I think
banks are so adamant that Canadians take the 5 year fix today. And I say, sure, it's in their best interest for you to take the 5 year, because their spread is healthy on a 5 year. And they got you for 5 years. And if should you not be able to afford the house and have to sell it, the penalties with the major banks to break a 5 year mortgage will you've already lost money. Multiply it, because you're going to lose that much more money.
Well, that's something you really have to think about, because if you get a 5 year mortgage today and in 3 years' time you have to sell, and rates are down around 3%, your penalty is going to be through the roof.
Right.
Through the roof, because now the bank is saying, not only am I going to use the posted rate calculation, which already makes us extra money and cost the consumer, but now the bank's going to say, now I can only lend out the money for the next 2 years at this low interest rate, and you're paying me this amount. Now you got to pay the interest rate differential from there as well. And it will prevent some people from selling the home. They'll say to themselves, there's less loss by hanging on to it for 2 years than there is by paying the penalty.
If you can afford it now. Circumstances are different where you get a divorce or something like that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know what the stress test has done, though? The stress test, the mortgages, sorry, Dora, is people in these circumstances now, the ones that are going ahead and buying the house, they don't qualify through traditional lending. So now we've got more and more Canadians across the country that are taking the alternate mortgage volume is through the roof. The traditional volume is down. Mortgage brokers' volume is up. Banks have lost market share on the mortgages, because a lot of Canadians are going to mortgage brokers, which they should more and more, regardless of what happens with the interest rates. But we're seeing more alternate mortgages and private mortgages. So, you know, it's good for the private lenders and for investors that have money. It's good for them. It's good for these other lenders, these alternate lenders, because they're still being relatively conservative in their lending, but they have elevated ratios that they can work with. But who it hurts is Canadians. Like, they're the ones that now are having to pay an extra 1.25% on their interest rates for a year because they don't qualify based on the strict rules that are in place.
What happens with a private lender if you want to get out of the mortgage?
Most lenders have at the worst case scenario for most of them, it's 3 months interest. But a lot of them have, if you give us 30 days notice, then you can pay it out with a very small penalty, like an administration fee kind of thing. So,
and there's no qualifying rate.
Well, there's no qualifying rate with private lenders. Private lenders are more about private lenders are what old school traditional banks and lenders used to be. It's risk analysis. So, you know, what's important to them is, number one, that the client can afford it. Even a private lender needs to know that the client can make the payments. The last thing a private lender wants to do is take over a property. They're not interested in that either. I know a lot of people think that, but that's not the way it works. Most really good private lenders want to know that the ability to pay is there. And in many cases, it's somebody that's gone through a separation where they don't have their separation agreement ready yet. Mm-hmm. So traditional lenders won't work with that because they don't know if there's support payments one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Self-employed people who don't show a lot of income on paper but actually make more money, but they get to write off things, and private lender can use that. So that's what you end up with the private lender. They charge a premium. But the goal even of a private lender there has to be an exit strategy, even with an alternate lender. When I talk to clients and, you know, I say to them, okay, like I can put you in a private lender, but I don't want you to be in a private lender for 4 or 5 years because right. it's expensive. I want to know that a year from now there's a solution there where we can get you out of the private lender and into either an alternate or traditional lender.
If you get an alternate or a private mortgage, mm-hmm. will it help when you go to get a normal mortgage a year later or 2 years later?
Well,
like
it will.
In terms of building equity? I mean, credit?
Yeah. Your issue, yes. Yeah. But in many cases, it's believe it or not, it's not the credit that's the issue in a lot of cases. It's the income. It's the qualifying.
Right.
So private lenders don't have the stress test. Again, like I said, it's risk analysis. What's important to them, the ability to pay and the property. Because, again, they got to think worst case scenario. What if we have to take the property back? Is it marketable? Mm-hmm. Like, is it a property that we can put on the market and sell in less than 30 days? Do we have to go in there and do a major rental? If we do, then in a lot of cases, they're not interested in that yeah. property.
Mm-hmm. And they can pick and choose now, right?
They
right.
can pick and choose, right. absolutely.
Wow.
But I guess much like buyers, right? If you are a buyer and you are thinking of getting into the market right now, you can sort of pick and choose which home you're going to take. And you can be more flexible, perhaps, and consider exploring different neighborhoods and different types of properties to increase your options to get into the market. If
and you
are
can
thinking,
take your time now.
You can right? take your time. You can take your time and you can analyze and you can come up with my lovely graphs. And you can have a pros and cons column and you can do all sorts of things. And the thing to consider too, I guess much like a private lender, is if you are purchasing a home, if you are a first-time home buyer, if you're someone who hasn't bought a house in a long time, it's important to think about the future resale value of your house. If you're going to live there forever, maybe not so much, but one never knows, right? So keep in mind, and if you're not thinking about it, make sure the person that you are working with has your back and is thinking about the future resale value. So, you know, what about this property is going to appeal to more buyers in the future, just like it appealed to you?
I would imagine fixer-uppers are really hard to move now because who wants to go in now and spend more money?
Very, very difficult. I think people don't have a lot of savings. And so in order to do the work for a fixer-upper, you have to have the cash flow and the capital to do that.
And a line of credit is what now? 7%?
7.7 to 8.2%.
Right.
It's not
yeah.
cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the cost of materials is up. The cost of trades is up. And right now, there are a lot of homes on the market, and there are going to be some that are fixed up and selling for not a very big delta, right? So that's probably what, well, in my experience, that's what most people are going for.
And as we get more and more homes on the market, yours better show well.
It really has to show well. Like curb appeal immediately. First impressions are so important when you pull up to a house. It's very, very important to have your house clean. It's very important to have your house neat. It's very important for it to feel warm.
But if it's dated, that'll show in the pictures, which is the first time you see a place.
That's right.
So those pictures better pop. Like you better have something looking good in that house to even get somebody at the door.
That's right. So something really, really bright. I was looking at actually per realtor.ca, the stats for Ottawa Q3 about where people look at listings. And, you know, a third of people who are looking at realtor.ca are looking at their laptop or their desktop. And 66% of the people who go to realtor.ca are looking on their mobile phones. So your photos in that tiny little square have to be so bright. They have to be sharp. The contrast has to be there. So working with someone who has a professional photographer, someone who has a professional videographer, is so different than working with someone who is taking your photos with an iPhone. So it yeah. is not the time for iPhone photos. I mean,
with the reflection in the mirror.
That's
in the bathroom,
right. Yeah. And often, you know, the dog or all sorts of things. We see yeah. some crazy, well, crazy pictures.
A couple of toys left on the nightstand. 521 Talk, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Santa Claus parade today.
It is.
Have you got your lights up yet? Are you putting lights up?
I've got those lights in the East Rock that I get to change.
Change all season long?
Christmas and Halloween.
And wonderful.
Anything.
You have nothing to do then.
Pretty well. Inside the house. We do a lot inside the house. But my wife is one of those second week of December kind of thing. That's when it's time to put
Second week of December?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if you're selling, don't bother putting it up, right?
Oh, I think a little bit. Like,
especially
tastefully.
If you have kids,
I think
can.
So. Oh, I think if you are selling your home, it's already so stressful for kids and a family that I think you've got to try to keep the routine as normal as possible. Doing it tastefully and doing it without a lot of clutter is important. But I think, you know, if you are someone who celebrates Christmas, decorating for the holidays, when somebody walks into your house, does give it like a really cozy, warm vibe. And so if you can have some decorations up, some soft white lights.
But not a huge tree. Everything will be claustrophobic then. Then you'll walk in and it'll seem much smaller, right?
Just make it cozy, but just pare it down. Cozy and pare it down.
I'm reading that people are getting 2, 3, and 4 trees now and putting them all around the house. I could see you doing that, Frank.
Nope.
Oh, did you read an article about me?
Do you do that? Do you really?
I heard you put lemons on your tree. Yeah. Is that true?
Do you really do that?
Not 2 or 3. I have one downstairs.
Yeah.
And I have 3, but they're like little. Little.
just 10-foot ones. They're just little ones.
Listen, leave me alone.
With all lemons. No ornaments. She's got lemon trees.
Oh, you're lucky this is the end of the show, boy. We would have had a full hour of taking this on.
Feel free to decorate for the holidays. Keep it simple. The scents of, you know, pine and cinnamon and orange and those lovely things, not too overbearing. Those are lovely when you walk into a house.
What about exterior decorations?
Exterior decorations, again, keep them simple. Nothing too extraordinary. If you're
not
someone who has, if you have someone who has loads of inflatables and you've got all sorts of things on your
inflatables
on your roof.
I never got the inflatable thing.
Well, a lot of people do it. People love it. The kids love it, and it looks really cute. But
be careful with your extension cords and stuff, right?
That's
you don't want
right.
people tripping.
You don't want people tripping, and you want someone to really get a nice visual of what your house is going to look like, and if they can picture themselves into it. I mean, that's the reality. Once you put your house up for sale, it is no longer your home. Mm-hmm. It is a commodity that somebody else is going to buy, and they have to feel like it's going to be their home. So put away the very, very personal family photos, put away very personal things that you have, and make it as warm and inviting as you can for somebody coming to look.
Last question, Frank. What's going to come down quicker, fixed rates or prime?
Fixed rates.
Yeah.
Fixed rates. We've already seen the bond markets come down by about a half a percentage point in the last 3 weeks. I think if the CPI numbers come in low, expect that to drop as well. Again, the bond markets will probably come down a little bit if Tuesday's announcement or Wednesday's announcement is the inflation is in the low threes. So that'll be a good sign. Again, we're starting to see some of the lenders pass those savings on, but certainly not a half a percent. We haven't seen the half percent yet, but we've seen 20, 25, 30 basis points. So we're getting there. And like I think that the spring is when our market really starts to heat up. And I truly believe that by the time we hit the spring, fingers crossed, we could be in the fours on some of the mortgage rates. So, which again, will give the market some confidence. We'll give first-time home buyers some confidence to maybe move forward and start looking at homes over the spring.
And if the economy really tanks, they'll be even lower?
They'll be even lower. They'll come down more tremendously. Listen, there's, again, I mean, I read so much on a daily and weekly basis, economic reports. There are so many different outcomes out there, so many different analysts that tell you different things. There are some that really think it's going to get really aggressive next year and then not as aggressive in 2025. Others that think it's the other way around. But at least they all agree to one thing. We're not going to see rates go up. We are going to see them come down. They have to come down. So at least that's refreshing and encouraging to know that we're heading into times when we are going to see better interest rates for Canadians.
Oh, by the time your granddaughter buys a house, she'd be all set then.
Such a long time away.
Yeah. What are you talking about? She's already 3 days old.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mean you haven't bought her an investment property yet?
Yeah. Yeah. That's mom and dad's job, not grandpa and grandpa. Not Nono's job. So. Yeah.
Birthdays.
Yeah, I've got a few. Diane Lowe, our underwriting manager, big fan of yours, Steve.
There's one.
Yep, there's one. Celebrate her birthday this week. Paula White, Derek's better half, celebrate her birthday this week. Scotty Hunter, one of our top agents. Leo Mairino celebrating his birthday today. My good friend Joe Ranieri celebrating his birthday today as well. And obviously the best one of them all is my granddaughter, who's got a birthday on November 15th every year moving forward.
And easy for you to remember the day before your birthday.
Easy for me, and it makes mine doesn't matter anymore because it's all going to be about hers. Yeah. So I don't age anymore. My birthday doesn't matter.
Amazing.
So. Yep.
Anything, Dora?
Other than hi to Angie, who is with Paul in San Francisco and joining the 49ers game. So she's having a great trip. So just
that's good because hello. She's had some tough time.
She's had some really tough
losing
times.
Losing her dad like I did.
Yeah.
So
part of her congratulations for the hard work she's done.
Absolutely. That's what it is.
Without her, there's no Paul.
All the money Paul saves by not buying breakfast, he's been able to take Angie to San Francisco.
That's
so
wonderful.
Yep.
How do we get a hold of you, Dora?
613-791-7875 or dora@paulrushforth.com.
Frank N.
at mortgagebrokersottawa.com.
Yep. You were a little ahead of
I
the
was.
Call
I'm
there.
Sorry.
Have a great week.
Have a great week, and please continue to support local businesses.
Bye-bye.